Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you here. If you're here in person, I want to also welcome those that are joining us online or over at our Westside campus. And I just got to let you know, before we jump into what we're talking about today, we're going to be starting a new series in October, and it's called What You See is What You Get. And we're going to take a look at worldview, because your worldview is the lens that you choose to see the world through. And it makes all of the difference with what you see and how you see it. And so we're going to talk about theology and ecology and anthropology and ecclesiology and numerous other ologies, as many as we can fit in there. Because in order to view the world correctly, you need to be able to see it like God sees it, the way he sees it. Well, last week, if you were here, you know we started a three-week series called Y Squared Equals What Plus How. And obviously the Y squared in the equation is not a letter, the letter Y, but rather the word Y. And apparently a lot of people have Y questions in their lives about which they often turn to Google to be able to find answers, as you might imagine. I went and looked, and here are some of the top 10 Google searches for Y. First one, why is there a leap day? Number two, why is the sky blue? Good question, right? Number three, why are cats afraid of cucumbers? And if that doesn't ring a bell with you, go online today and just type in cats afraid of cucumbers, and you'll see some reasons why people would ask that. Number four, why do we yawn? That's a good question. Doesn't really accomplish anything except get your mouth wide open. And then you're not going to believe, this was in the top 10. Why did the chicken cross the road? And of course, you guys all know why the chicken crossed the road, right? It was not to get to the other side. It was because it wanted to see a man lay bricks. One more. Somebody actually asked this, why are fire engines red? Now, that's a good question. So I did a little research, and I think I found the answer. This is why fire engines are red. They're red because they have 8 wheels and 4 people on them, and 4 plus 8 makes 12, and there are 12 inches in a foot, and 1 foot is a ruler, and Queen Elizabeth was a ruler, and Queen Elizabeth was also a ship, and the ship sailed the seas, and there were fish in the seas, and fish have fins, and the Finns fought the Russians, and Russians are always red, and since fire trucks are always rushing around, that's why fire trucks are red. I mean, I bet you're glad you came to church today just because you're going to raise the level of your knowledge and insight. Now, we also, last week, talked about why is so important. And we really noted that when we're young, we probably ask way too many why questions. But often, as we get older, we sometimes don't ask why enough. And that's why we started off this series answering two very important questions when it comes to the church. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly. The first of which was, why do we do what we do? And that's a great question, because there needs to be a purpose behind what we're doing. And the answers to that question we found were because we have a God-given directive. It is God's church, and so he's actually given us some instructions about what he wants to be doing. And in those instructions, we also learn that God's design is that his people tell other people about him. Now, when we really studied that more and more, we got quickly to our mission as a church. And our mission as a church is to create Christ followers who create Christ followers. And once we got there, it led pretty quickly to our 10-year vision that started a couple of years ago. And our vision is to provide the opportunity for at least 100,000 people living in the proximity of our church to experience the message of Christ and his love. Because if they don't, they're going to be in trouble. Well, that brings us to the second why question we asked was, why is it important? Why does it make any difference? And there were two answers that we learned as well. The first one was because everyone's going to spend eternity somewhere. Folks, you have a body, but you are a soul. And one day we're going to put off that physical body, but that doesn't mean it's the end of us. There's a soul that lives on. And we know the Bible says it goes one of two places. One of those places is going to be really, really good. And one of them is going to be a horrific place to spend eternity. And it's important because, secondly, we learned everyone's ultimate destination depends on knowing Jesus and him knowing you. And so we've got to get people into that relationship. Well, now that we've established the why, we're ready to look at the questions what and how. which really are answered by the three priorities that we have identified as a church. And so today we're going to take a look at that first priority, and then next week we're going to take a look at the other two, which are grow and impact. So we'll answer the what first with priority number one, which is to connect with Christ and his followers. To connect with Christ and his followers. Now, obviously, our journey with Christ truly begins when you put your faith in Christ, you trust in him, you connect with him, and you become his follower. So that's connect with Christ. And that's what we talked about last week. If you missed it, you can check it out online. But after you've connected with Christ, you also need to connect with other Christ followers. It's important. See, it was after the very first Christ followers connected with Christ on the day of Pentecost that we're told that they immediately, I mean instantaneously, began to connect with other Christ followers. And in Acts chapter 2, it reveals that they were devoted to what was called fellowship, and that every day they met together in the temple courts. Every day that was a priority for them to connect. See, apparently they recognized that they had begun a journey that was so unique and different from the rest of the world, that it was going to require a unique community of people unlike anything this world has ever seen. And it really was when you read about it. Now, what's hard about this is I've witnessed sometimes that people will make that connect with Christ, but then they don't connect with his people at all. And then at other times, I've seen people who are connected with Christ followers, but they never make a connect with Christ. And both of those connections are essential. I mean, one without the other is hazardous. One, of course, is hazardous to your eternity, and the other is going to be hazardous to your faith. Now, this connection that they made with Christ and his followers became identified and known as the ecclesia, or the church. And I mentioned the word ecclesia because it's the word that's most often translated church in the New Testament. And all that it means or refers to is just an assembly or a gathering. And it literally means God's people gathering together, connecting with one another. And it's important that we understand this concept, folks, because the church isn't a man-made institution. It's a movement with divine design. I mean, this isn't something that we came up with. It was God's idea to begin with, something he'd actually planned from the very beginning, not an afterthought. And we know that because in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, the Apostle Paul writes that his intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if you're following along on the notes, or if you're following along, you know, on your device there, I want you to circle or highlight the words manifold wisdom of God. Circle those or highlight those. And then circle or highlight his eternal purpose. His eternal purpose. What is he saying here? He's saying that out of God's wisdom, he ordained the church. It's not an afterthought. It's part of his eternal plan. Now, having said that, this doesn't mean that God literally sanctions everything that his people have sometimes turned the church into. Because sometimes we've made it what we want it to be. But he does sanction the fact that his followers need each other. And that they need to be together if we're going to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. See, the Christian faith really is a team sport. It functions best when Christ followers are connected with other Christ followers in meaningful community. And what that means is, folks, there should be no such things as a Lone Ranger Christian, someone who's out there on their own. But if you remember, even the Lone Ranger had who? I mean, he had his own Tonto. Now, did you know that Jesus always sent his followers out in groups larger than one? He never sent anybody by themselves. And it's interesting, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus makes this interesting statement. He says, "For where two or three are gathered, they're connecting in my name, there am I with them." Now, it's interesting, we already know when you're by yourself, that doesn't mean Jesus goes away. He's still with you, even when you're alone. But he says, when you actually connect with other believers, we're going to get together. See, the quality of our faith walk is enhanced in community with other sojourners. And we need to have other people with us in this journey. Now, that concept that you see there is infused in the verses that we're going to focus on today. And those are found in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And here's what it says. Listen carefully. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I can't go on without saying, you know, that verse reminds me a lot of a salad, because you notice it's filled with lettuce, right? Let us encourage one another. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us, you know, help each other. Sorry about that. Just can't help myself. Now, most of you, I know, you are here today probably because you already, to some extent, you know this. But, you know, there might be someone here today who's just decided to give church a try again. And so you need to hear this. Or maybe you're even here for the very first time and you need to hear this as well. And so let's just be honest this morning. Almost everyone I know of has had a bad experience with church. I mean, it just didn't go well. There was a fight, an argument, some disagreement, something went wrong. And sometimes that makes us want to give up on the church, but folks, that's because the church is entirely made up of human beings. That's part of the problem. But they're human beings at all different levels of sanctification. And so we just got to be careful that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There was a mom who came into her son's room on Sunday morning because he wasn't getting ready for church. And so she walked in the room and threw the covers off his bed and said, you need to go to church today. And he said, no, Mom, I don't want to go to church. I can give you three good reasons why I don't want to go to church. Number one, I'm exhausted. Number two, I think it's a waste of time. And number three, the people there don't even like me. He said, can you give me three good reasons why I should go to church? And she said, you bet I can give you three good reasons why you should go to church. Number one, because I'm your mom. Number two, because you're 53 years old. And number three, because you're the pastor. We're all going to get frustrated with church. Because you know what, folks? Church is going to be filled with lots of other people who don't always think like you do or don't always act like you do, and especially who don't always agree with you. And you know, there's really one simple reason for that, folks. And literally, it's because, you know, everybody's odd but God. I mean, everybody's odd but God. We are all quirky in our own way. And just as other people might be kind of odd to you, it's very likely that you are a little bit odd to other people. In fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you right now and just say, hey, did you know you're kind of quirky? So let's go ahead, straighten that out today. Go ahead and tell them. Now, you know, one of my quirks that you often have to endure, in fact, I've made you endure it already today, it just happens to be that I like puns. And I like them a lot. But you know what I've learned is what makes me grin makes other people groan. That's just the way it is. We are all Christ followers in progress. And so we're going to encounter people at all levels of different faith experience and maturity. And we will meet some that are almost like saints and others that are still acting a lot like sinners. And these three verses, we still need each other because these verses reveal three reasons that it's vital to connect with other Christ followers. Three really good reasons. And the first reason is because everyone needs to be appropriately challenged from time to time. All of us need to be appropriately challenged from time to time. Notice it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Now, most of us, I think, imagine when we hear the word spurs, it's something a cowboy uses to communicate to a horse that it's time to get busy and get going. And isn't it true that all of us maybe could use a little bit of spurring on at one time or another? Have you ever noticed that the stuff that's really bad for you is easy to do? It's just easy to do the bad stuff. But the stuff that's really good for you, I mean, you have to make a conscious decision to do what's really good for you. And I'll guarantee you this, it's much easier to do the right thing when you're being encouraged to do it, just as it's also much easier to do the wrong thing when you're being encouraged to do that. That's why we need to hang around with people that encourage us to do the right things. And there are going to be those times when you will need someone who's watching you and noticing where you might be drifting in your faith and point that out to you. And you know, that even applies to church leaders at high levels. And there's even a great example of this in the early church. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul's writing a letter to some Christians far away, and he actually brings up the Apostle Peter. And what he says, notice what he says. Hey, when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was in the wrong. Folks, this is the stuff that the tabloids were made of or would be made of, right? There's a big scandal, Peter and Paul. I mean, the Apostle Paul literally calls St. Peter on the carpet. And that was a big deal. This was Peter, who was one of the three inner circle of Christ's apostle. Peter, who was the only apostle to ever attempt to even walk on water. Peter was the one Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom, and why his message on the day of Pentecost is the one that's recorded for us in Acts chapter 2. And here's Paul. But it was because Peter had begun to drift from his faith in Christ back to his Jewish roots, which caused him to start acting more like a Jew than a follower of Christ. Paul said, you need to know that. You need to see that. You can read about it if you want later today in Galatians chapter 2. I mean, even Peter, the Apostle Peter, needed to be appropriately challenged from time to time. And let me just say, I'm so thankful for the times that people have graciously spoken into my life when I needed it. And a little farther on in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul just says, hey, it's all our responsibility. Brothers and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Now notice, it's interesting, he said gently. And so I think when he called Paul on the carpet, he did it in a nice, gentle, caring, loving way, but he still did it. The second reason why it's vital to connect with other Christ followers is because spiritual growth happens best in community. Spiritual growth happens best in community. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Folks, the idea that you're going to be okay doing your faith walk alone is never found anywhere in the Bible. And yet it's been around almost since the church began. Here's back when Hebrews was written. People were already starting to make it a habit. Now, we know we have a mandate in 2 Peter chapter 3 that we're supposed to be growing in our faith. It says, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, Christ followers are supposed to grow up in their faith, not just grow old in their faith. And so why is community so important for that growth? Well, let me just say, I hope it's obvious that, first of all, you don't know what you don't know. And when you become a Christ follower, there's a lot that you don't even know that you don't know. And you know, one of the reasons why babies are born into families is so that they can learn how to live and function in the world. And babies really have a lot to learn because there's a lot that they don't even know that they don't know, but they're helped by others. And they need to learn. And we know, you know, there's two ways to learn, wisdom or consequences. And which one is easier? Wisdom is less painful. And you can learn the easy way by accessing the wisdom of others, or you can learn the hard way by naively experimenting and then experiencing those negative consequences. And so it's interesting, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, hey, you can help other people on their spiritual journey. He says, set an example. Live in a way that they can see it in your speech, in your conduct, in your love, in your faith, and in your purity. Well, there's a third reason why it's vital to connect with other Christ followers, and that's because following Christ is going to require perseverance. It's going to require perseverance. It says, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, they thought the return of Christ was imminent, and so we got to get on it. But folks, it's been approximately 2,000 years since this was written, and we're still waiting. And so hopefully it should be obvious that the Christian journey is going to look more like a marathon than a sprint. I mean, it's going to be long haul, which means we're going to need some encouragement. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but following Jesus is not going to be the easy path. I mean, I think Jesus said as much to his followers when he said, hey, in this world, you're going to have trouble. It's going to be hard. And I can almost guarantee you that there are going to be times when you're going to want to give up on your faith. You're going to say, you know what? I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I want to go on anymore. Some of you have probably been there already. And it might have been because you got disappointed with God. Maybe he didn't feel as close to you as you thought he would be, or he didn't answer your prayers the way that you wanted him to, or he didn't clearly guide you or clear your path. And when we get to that point, then we're often tempted to give up meeting together. And folks, that is Satan's plan, and he wins when he keeps us separated from each other. You know, a number of years ago, a study was done that discovered when people don't have personal connections in the church with at least seven other people, it's a pretty high likelihood that they're just going to be a dropout. They're going to feel like giving up sometimes. And going back to Galatians, it's interesting how Paul writes there in verse 9 of chapter 6. He says, don't become weary in doing good. Because at the proper time, and it's not now, it's at that proper time, you're going to reap a harvest if you don't give up. And folks, I guarantee you, having other believers around you is one of the keys to not giving up. I'm sure that you've seen when geese fly, they fly together in a V formation. You've seen that V formation. And sorry, I didn't come up with this today. Somebody at the first service told me. Does anyone know why oftentimes there's one of those lines of the V that's shorter than the other? Yeah, there's more geese in the longer line. That's thank you, Dave. That's a dad joke, right? Well, next time you look, you're going to go, I get that now. You know, God's gift to geese is allowing them to reach their destination more quickly and with less energy required when they fly together in formation. That V formation allows each goose to provide additional lift while reducing the air resistance to the goose that's flying behind it. And by flying together in that V formation, scientists have estimated that the entire flock can fly about 70% farther, 70%. With the same amount of energy than if each goose flew alone. And have you noticed? You had to have noticed. While these geese fly, what do? They honk at each other, offering encouragement to one another. Hey, keep going. And letting the geese in front of them know, hey, we're there. I'm there. And you know, when people work together in the church sharing common values and a common destination, they're going to be a lot less likely to give up. Because they will be lifted up by the energy and enthusiasm and encouragement of others. If only it was that easy. Because, you know, the challenge of journeying together with other people is that it's always going to slow you down. Friday night, we were coming home from visiting my parents up in Arvada. I don't know if you're doing this, you know, they're doing some construction on I-25. And our trip home, I mean, it was extended by at least a half an hour, all because they had to merge two lanes down into one. And we have to go very slow when we're moving two lanes down into one. And that's really true. When you're doing life together, you have to go slow. But you know what? That ought to be okay, really, because I already mentioned the Christian journey is more like a marathon than a sprint. And so if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, make sure there's some other people around. Well, what? What is connect? And that really, I think, brings us to the how. And the how that we're going to connect is through connect groups and ministry teams. Folks, it's hard. It's hard to make meaningful connections during that brief, you know, greet your neighbor time at the beginning of the service. But you know what? I've seen people circle up after the service and really start to share and connect. See, people don't connect in rows. They connect in circles. And one of those circles is our connect groups that comes in two different flavors. One of them is Adult Bible Fellowships, or ABFs, and these meet on Sunday morning concurrent with our current worship services. There's ABFs going on right now. The other is Life Groups that meet away from the building most often in homes during the week. And folks, we just started a new semester. There are new groups starting. It would be a great time to start. And Pastor Dave, I'm going to go ahead and just have you stand so you can see him, make sure you don't know him. Pastor Dave would love to help you if you want to get in one of those groups. And all you need to do is just email him at dave@academychristian.org. And I just want to say, if you're joining us from home right now because you still need to be cautious about being in large groups, I would encourage you, find a smaller group where you can get together and meet with people. You'll be glad you did. I mean, I see this all the time. Just recently, I watched a life group that rallied around a family who'd lost a loved one, ministered to them, supported them, helped them, and encouraged them. They wouldn't have had that if they hadn't been in that life group. I'm actually on an email prayer request distribution list of another one of our adult Bible fellowships that every week shares prayer needs and concerns with each other, and then they pray diligently for each other, and I've watched how they've ministered to each other in so many amazing ways that they would not receive if they were just here on Sunday mornings and not in a group. Folks, this is the why behind the what. And another way of serving, and we don't have time to talk about that, every year we work on it big, but it's by serving in one of our numerous ministry teams, and there's always places for you to serve. Talk to any of our staff. They'll try to get you plugged in. But our goal, I want you to ultimately know, is this. Every person in a community led by a disciple maker to expand the kingdom. That's our goal. Because, folks, the point of church is not for everyone to know everyone. The point is for everyone to be known. And in order to know and be known, you've got to be connected. You've got to be connected. And that means you're probably going to have to put yourself out there. You're going to need to interact with others, and that might make you vulnerable. And maybe you've tried that before a few times and got burned. I would just say try again and again and again, because that's where community is at when we connect. Let's pray. Father, the reason we're here today is really because you wanted your church to gather. And it's so important for us to gather in this large group and worship together and be taught together, but we really need to be in smaller groups where we can know and we can also be known. And I pray you'd give all of us courage to step into that arena. It can be scary. It can even be hurtful sometimes. But it also helps us be real and helps other people be real to us. Thank you for the goodness of giving the church to us to make sure we make it on this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.